The focal point of our lives ought to be the cross. Coming to the cross as we see what the Lord has done for us, what God has provided for us, and it is through that amazing act of sacrifice on the cross that we have, in the greatest form that is possible, the grace and the mercy and the love, compassion, and you could list many other qualities that we have from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Clay is going to help us tonight as we think about the Lord, as we think about the cross, as we think about, I want to mention some qualities that I believe that we ought to be bringing to the cross as we worship every time, and as we come together, especially to remember the Lord's death and to think about the graciousness of the Lord through that sacrifice. There are many qualities that we ought to bring as we come to the cross. And let's think about those tonight as we sing and as we listen to Scripture from God's Word.
Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Was it for crimes that I had done? He groaned upon the tree. Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Why did the Savior heaven leave and come to earth below, where men would not, could not receive, because he loves me so? He loves me, he loves me, he loves me, this I know. He gave himself to die for me, because he loved me so. Why did the Savior mark the way, and why temptation know? Why teach and toil and plead and pray? Because he loved me so. He loves me, he loves me, he loves me, this I know. He gave himself to die for me, because he loves me so.
The great gift that God gave us because he loves us so does not come without a price. A price to God who gave his son, a price to that son who loved us so much that he gave his life. There is, in return, an expectation that we will be committed to him. We'll never be able to sacrifice as he did, but we will need to be able to commit to him. Paul wrote about himself and his life beginning in verse 6 of 2 Timothy 4. He said, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but to all those who have loved his appearing." May we love him so much that our everyday life will show that we are ready to be poured out as an offering in the way the Apostle Paul described his life. And may we love then and look forward to his appearing.
Beneath the cross of Jesus, I faith would take my stand. The shadow of a mighty rock with it a weary land, a home within the wilderness, a rest upon the way. From the burning of the noontide heat and the burden of the day. I believe in the one they call Jesus. I believe he's still Galilee. I believe that he walked on the water. And I believe that he's the answer for me. Yes, I believe in the one they call Jesus. I believe he died on Mount Calvary. And I believe that the tomb was found empty. And I believe is the answer for me. Yes, I believe in the one they call Jesus. I believe on Mount Calvary. And I believe that the tomb was found empty. And I believe that he's the answer for me.
If we kneel before the cross of Jesus and we honestly take a look at that concept of commitment, we're going to be moved to believe in Jesus. We're going to be moved to do what we need to do. But a second concept that I want us to think about tonight are the blessings that we receive. Our lives are filled with sin. We hate to admit it. And perhaps there are some people that are arrogant enough to not be able to see that. They see themselves as really good because they do some good things. But without the cross, without coming to the foot of the cross and listening to what God has to say, we can never experience the removal of those sins. We can't do that on our own. It took the cross of Jesus. It took the sacrifice. It took the shedding of the blood. And when we commit ourselves to that and we believe in that, the blessings that come are unthinkable. It's hard for us to appreciate fully in this world, I believe, what Isaiah said in chapter 56, beginning with verse 4, when he wrote of that suffering servant, and he said, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. By his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." May we work hard at looking at the blessing that God gave to us. There are many, but especially tonight, may we look at the blessing that he gave to us that we could never have for ourselves without him, and that is the removal of our sins.
I hear the Savior say, "Thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And when before the throne I stand in him complete, I'll lay my trophies down, all down at Jesus' feet. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Oh, sacred head, now wounded, with grief and shame weighed down, now scornfully surrounded, with thorns thy only crown, how art thou pale with anguish, with sore abuse and scorn? How does that visage languish, which once was bright as morn? What language shall I borrow to thank thee, dearest friend, for this thy dying sorrow, thy pity without end? Oh, make me thine forever, and should I fainting be, Lord, let me never outlive my love to thee.
Amen.
Those songs are so beautiful to sing. The words are very, very impressive. But can we be moved from thinking about the sacrifice that Jesus made for us that we could not have without him? Did you really believe when you sang, "Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed it as white as snow." Did you believe that? Or did you look at yourself and you think, yeah, you know, Jesus did a pretty good job on the cross, but I did a pretty good job myself. Sometimes we get the feeling that what we do is such hard work that we deserve what God offers to us. There is absolutely no way the Bible teaches that any of us deserve any of the blessings that we have from God. He gives to us fully and freely, not because we deserve, but because he loves. And he shares his love with us, and that gives us so, so very much. It ought to instill within me a tremendous sense of responsibility. It is not as though God left us here to sit over in the corner and bask in the glory of his grace and mercy and his blessings. But he reminds us in Matthew chapter 16, beginning with verse 24, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me.'" Deny self, take up cross, and follow me. And then he says, "For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" Jesus has not promised us that he will bear all the burden alone. But he did bear the burden that we could not bear for ourselves. But he's given us a yoke to work with him in the bearing of burdens. And that carries with it a responsibility. And so as we go through life, if we've taken that responsibility seriously, yoked with the Lord, and we work and we serve and we take up our responsibility. Jesus did not teach us that he would be the only one to bear the cross. It's our responsibility as well.
Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone, and there's a cross for me. Oh, precious cross, oh, glorious crown, oh, resurrection day. Ye angels from the stars come down and bear my soul away. My life, my love, I give to thee, thou Lamb of God who died for me. Oh, may I ever faithful be, my Savior and my God. live for him who died for me. How happy then my life shall be. I'll live for him who died for me. My Savior and my God.
When we determine to have that commitment, we really do everything we can to understand and receive in an appropriate way the blessings that God offers to us, the greatest of which is the removal of our sins. And we start thinking about the responsibility that each of us has. That would cause us, I think, to fall to our knees, whether literally or not. It should cause us to fall to our knees in awe of God, to worship, to pay tribute to give thanks to seek continued blessings and help from the God of heaven who gave us his Son, and that precious Son who has become the Savior of the world. When we began to think about that occasion, the cross, we would have to say, wow, what a man, what a gift, what grace, what love, what commitment, what an offering to people who do not deserve it. What a Savior. Jesus said in Luke 24, or rather the text says in Luke 24, beginning with verse 49, he led them out as far as Bethany. He lifted up his hands and blessed them. And now it came to pass, while he blessed them, that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. What an awesome sight that must have been. They were in the presence of the Christ, the resurrected Christ. What do you think your response would have been had you been there and you actually laid your eyes on, or you may have been one of the blessed ones to be in his very presence, listening to him talk, sharing a meal with him? What would be your response as you watch him leave this world after giving you everything that really matters in this entire world? Everything that really matters in this entire world. Verse 52 of Luke 24 says, and they worshiped him. They worshiped him. Would we not want to do that on a regular basis? Would we not want to come together and do that as we think about the cross, as we think about the gift, as we think about the commitment that it takes, as we think about the blessings and the responsibility that we have? Would we not want to pay attention to worship? They worshiped him. And they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. I don't believe the joy that they had anything to do with the end of worship as they went back to Jerusalem. I believe the joy had to do with the opportunity that they had to be with the Christ and to be able to worship him. They were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. And then Luke adds, amen. A word that means, let it be this way. Let it be this way in our lives. as we come together to think about God, to think about the commitment that we ought to have, to think about the blessings and the responsibility, let it be that when we come together, we bow before God in worship of His holy name, expressing our gratitude and adoring Him for everything that He's done to us. And then let's go back to the dorm if we're university students, or let's go back to our homes as families. Let's go back to wherever it is that we're going and continually praise God and bless Him because we've been at the cross with our Lord.
Once I was straying in sin's dark valley, no home within could I see. They searched through heaven and found a Savior to save a poor lost soul like me. Oh, what a Savior! Oh, hallelujah! His heart was broken on Calvary. His hands were nails cut. His side was riven. He gave His life blood for even me. Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. O precious fountain that saves from sin, I am so glad I have entered in. There Jesus saves me and keeps me clean. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name.
The invitation song is 742.
I'm not as good with words as I would like to be, but if I could, I would speak in terms that would have every one of you kneeling before the cross of Jesus. We often sing "Kneel at the Cross," or at least we used to sing that a lot when I was growing up. Kneel at the cross, Christ will meet you there. I don't know that we could do a better job than listening to the words that we've read tonight and read the gospel record of the crucifixion. But if I could do it, I would take you right to the cross. And I would have you look up at the Savior. I've thought so many times we focus on the physical abuse that Jesus took, and He took a lot, and the pain and agony that came with that, I cannot feature. But in my study of what God says to us about the cross, I don't believe that that's where the pain really came from in those hours. I believe the pain came from one who was without sin, Him who knew no sin, was made to become sin that you and I might become the righteousness of God. I believe the pain came in the greatest way, with the most depth, when Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? I believe Jesus had to be separated from his Father to die spiritually so that you and I might live spiritually and never, ever have to face the second death, but that we could live forever. He died for me so that I could live with him. We're about to sing, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. And as we sing that, I want you to be thinking about the opportunities that you have. I want you to be thinking about the responsibilities that you have. I want you to be thinking about the desires that you have about pleasing the Lord. And may we go away today continually praising God and blessing Him because we can come to the cross and we can seek His blessings. And we have such an opportunity even tonight, an opportunity to listen to the words of Jesus when He says, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. The words of the Apostle Paul that says, we are buried with Him in baptism so that like as Christ was raised from the glory of the Father, we might also be raised to walk in newness of life. To hear the words of Peter, when we have been immersed into Christ and we make mistakes, to hear the words of Peter in Acts chapter 8, repent and pray, therefore, that this, thy wickedness, can be forgiven. We have that opportunity. If you have the need, if you have the desire, as in your mind, you survey the wondrous cross of Jesus and you want or need to respond to the Lord, it's our encouragement that you do that right now as we stand and as we sing.